There were moments in the life of Jesus when he would withdraw from the crowds and seek time alone. But we know that he was never alone. In fact, when he would withdraw from the multitudes, it was to be with his Father. And Jesus maintained his connection with God throughout his life, no matter what he was going through, no matter who he was teaching or ministering to. Jesus was always connected with God. And we have those pictures from Jesus' life where he would just take time to be alone with God. There are moments in my life when I enjoy being alone. I'm not sure if it's my personality or how I was raised on a farm, many hours spent alone, but I enjoy time alone. And I see in those moments the opportunities that I have to connect with God in a special way. Because even in those moments when I am alone, I'm really not alone. The essence of this phrase, God with us, is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing, no matter what life is bringing us, we always have connection with God available to us. We're used to connections. We have phones that we carry with us all the time, and we're able to connect with each other, whether through text or phone calls or social media, basically anytime we want. And when that connection is broken, if something happens to our phone, we immediately take care of it. Because we can't imagine being without our phone, being without our connections. Can we imagine life without being connected to God? Can we imagine what life would be like if he wasn't with us? When Jesus left heaven to come to earth, he brought God with him. God has always been with his people, but there was one moment in time, one moment in history, when he chose to visit his people. In Matthew chapter 1, Matthew records what's about to happen when Jesus was going to come to earth, born as a baby to Joseph and Mary. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated, "God with us." Even in Jesus' name itself, there's this precious meaning, this connection that we have to God, that God has come down here to earth to visit his people. Matthew's story of Jesus begins and ends with the promise of God's presence. It begins there in Matthew chapter 1. Jesus is going to be born. You shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And then we see in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, Jesus speaking to his apostles before he ascends back to heaven. And the very last thing he leaves with them, according to Matthew, is this promise of his presence. You're never going to be alone. No matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, no matter what you're facing, I am going to be with you even to the end of the age. God has made us a lot of promises in his word. And we anchor ourselves on those promises. It's those promises that give us hope, that keep us going. One of the most comforting promises in all the Bible is what we see in Matthew 1 and Matthew 28. This promise of God being with us. And because of Jesus Christ and the fact that he left heaven and came down here to earth, the fact that he was willing to leave God's presence to come and be here where we live, it gives us the opportunity to always be connected with God. There are moments when we might question this. There are moments when you might want to argue with what I just said. But I want you to consider some things. God will be with us when others abandon us. Just because other people might forsake us, just because other people might leave us alone in a moment of need, doesn't mean God will. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul's writing to Timothy at the end of his life. When we reach the end of our lives, we'll always be doing some reflection. And that's what Paul's doing here. And he's reflecting on a moment that's recorded for us back in Acts when everybody was stacked against Paul. Everybody deserted him. And he was left to face the authorities all alone. And Paul is sharing that moment with Timothy. "Timothy, I know what it's like to be alone. And as you're going and preaching the gospel, as you're going and trying to bring people to Christ, you may have moments when you feel just like this, where everybody else seems to abandon you. But I want you to know something, Timothy. Even in that moment when everybody else left me, when everybody else forsook me, I wasn't alone. Because the Lord was with me. The Lord was with me when everybody else bailed out on me. As Christians, we're never really alone. God will also be with us when we face struggles. That's the message found in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Humans, you know, we'll let each other down. We'll desert each other from time to time. Our friends, at times, will disappoint us and let us down. Even within this room, as close as we are, in the community that we try to build, the fellowship that's present, there's going to be times when we disappoint each other. We're humans. But the Lord won't. God will never disappoint you. God will never forsake you. He will never desert you. Even when you're facing illness, even when you're facing persecution, even when everybody seems stacked against you, where you may be in a situation where you look around and you think, I am the only one who's trying to do what's right. I am the only one who's trying to take a stand for Jesus. You need to remember you're not alone. God will also be with us when we are tempted. These things that I've thrown out here to you, God will be with us when others abandon us. God will be with us when others forsake us. God will be with us in these moments of temptations. It's in these type moments where we probably question God's presence. In this moment when we're being tempted by Satan, and Satan is just coming at us on a daily basis, throwing his fiery darts at us, throwing temptation at us left and right, we probably look around at times and think, man, I'm all alone. There's nobody here to help me. There's nobody here to bail me out. We're going to focus the rest of our time this morning right here on this. Because we're going to be tempted. We're going to face temptations in our life, and at times it's going to seem tough. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a struggle. But in these moments, don't ever question God's presence. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is actually led by the Spirit out to the wilderness to be tempted. God leading God to be tempted, so to speak. And we have Jesus being tempted by Satan. They're squared off here in the wilderness. And Satan is just coming at him left and right. He throws everything that he has in his arsenal at Christ. All of the temptations that Eve faced, here they just come raining down on Jesus. So picture Jesus. He has been led by the Spirit out into the wilderness. He is in a place where physically he is all alone. There is nobody around. He can't turn to the apostles. He can't turn to other people. He is out there in the wilderness, squared off with Satan. It sure seems like Jesus has been abandoned. But that's not the case. In fact, as you read Matthew 4 and Luke 4, you see Jesus reaching out to the Father. Jesus holding on to that connection with his Father, just like he did in the garden. There are moments in our life when we might feel all alone. We might look around and feel as if everybody's forsaken us, everybody's abandoned us, everybody's just bailed out on us. One of these moments could very well be right when we're being tempted. Listen to what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10 about temptation. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. Even as you look at the temptations that Jesus faced, they were the very same temptations that Eve faced back in Genesis 3. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Those temptations are common to all of us. So we should be able to connect with each other. We learn in Hebrews that Jesus can relate to us because he knows what it's like to be out in the wilderness of temptation. He knows what it's like to be face to face with Satan. He knows what it's like to be tempted with the lust of the flesh, with the lust of the eyes, with the pride of life. Jesus, he understands. But you know what? We also understand that. Not only can Jesus relate to us, but we should be able to relate to each other. And sometimes we just go through life pretending like it's so easy. We come here on a Sunday and we put on our faces and sometimes we need to get real with each other because we struggle with temptation. And we know what that's like. We know what it's like to give in. We know what it's like in those moments when we just feel hopeless. How can I endure? How can I get out of this? And we should be able to help each other and encourage each other because we know what it's like. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. You could take every temptation that we faced. If all of us just wrote down every temptation that we faced in this past week, there'd be a lot of temptations. We'd be way over 1,000 temptations. And you could take all of those temptations, however many there are, if there's 1,000, 5,000, 10,000, however many it adds up to. You could take all of those temptations and you could put them in one of those three categories. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. But when we face those temptations, however Satan packages them, and he's good at packaging sin, he's good at packaging temptation, but no matter how Satan packages it, no matter how Satan comes at us, we need to remember what Paul says next. God is faithful. No matter how many temptations we endure, no matter how many temptations we give into, God, he's faithful. You remember what we read in Matthew 1 before Jesus was even born? You'll call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God was faithful in his life. He was faithful in sending Jesus. Jesus, while he lived, you talk about faith. And in our moments of temptation, when we may feel all alone, God, he is faithful. In this next part, there's times when I wonder how it works. Because what Paul writes next is an important thought for us. Our God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. I thought we'd have some snickering, perhaps. Sometimes I read that verse, and I read that particular section, I think, what are you talking about? Because I know I've given in. I know I've been in moments when I haven't been faithful. So what is Paul talking about? Satan doesn't have the power to make you sin. If you consider every temptation that you've ever faced in your life, Satan hasn't forced you to sin. Now, our society has changed so much where morality has become relative to every person. We, in essence, become our own God. We make up our own truth. We live however we want. There have been so many shifts in society when it comes to morality that if we're not careful, we'll get caught up in that wave and we'll get to a point where we don't even view sin the way God does anymore. When we won't even view temptation the way God views it. Satan doesn't have the power to make us sin. When you're squared off with him and he's throwing something at you and he's trying to get you to turn against God, he can't make you choose sin. He doesn't have that power. There are times in Scripture when we read about Satan and how he's described. He's described as a ruler of this world. That's how Jesus describes him. But he doesn't have the power to make you turn against God. We have choice. We have the ability to choose God. When Jesus was led out to the wilderness, he had some choices that were placed in front of him. Satan throws out this temptation. Jesus, what are you going to choose? Satan throws out another, Jesus, what are you going to choose? Here comes another one. Jesus, what are you going to choose? And that's how it is with us. You see, Satan can't take away our power to choose. God will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able. But with the temptation, we'll provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. There's a lot of things we learn about temptation from this verse. Everybody is going to face temptation. In fact, I can guarantee you, everybody here in this room, this week, you will face temptations. What if we actually kept a log where we just wrote down each moment when we were tempted? I believe that would help us in our spiritual battle with Satan, because sometimes we're just oblivious. If we're not careful, we'll get in a routine of life. We're going from one day to the next, and Satan is working against us. He's trying to get us to sin, and if we're not cautious, we're not even aware of what's going on. What if every time we were tempted within the next week, we just wrote it down? Satan tempted me to cheat. Satan tempted me to lust. Satan tempted me to lose control of my anger. And we just had a log where we could see just how active Satan is trying to be in our life. Everybody is going to face temptation. No one is immune. We can't escape temptation, but we can't escape being tempted. But God is the one who provides the way of escape. If you look in Scripture, you see people who were successful in overcoming Satan. You go back and you look at Joseph's life. Joseph, when he was tempted daily by Potiphar's wife, he decided to run. He ran away from that situation. Sometimes that's the best strategy we can use. You know, God is not going to place us in a situation where we're tempted beyond what we can stand, but sometimes we can put ourselves in those situations. Sometimes we put ourselves right in the middle of the lion's den. Joseph, when he was there, he ran. He got out of Dodge. He changed his environment. And sometimes that's what we need to do. But what was it that allowed Joseph to do that? Joseph is a great example of what it looks like to resist daily temptation, because Satan, he was just bombarding Joseph. Every day, Potiphar's wife was just throwing herself at him. And you look at Joseph's relationships, he first mentions his relationship with Potiphar. How could I do this against Potiphar? After all, he has placed me in charge of everything. He has withheld nothing from me except you. But the bottom line, when it really came to resisting, Joseph reflected back on his relationship with God. Now, if there was anybody that we read about in the Bible that could have questioned God's presence, if there is anybody that could have said, "God, where in the world are you?" Wasn't it Joseph? Can't we hear Joseph thinking, "God, where were you when I was thrown into that pit? Where were you when I was sold into slavery? You promised your presence. Where were you when I stood up for you and then I was thrown into a prison cell? God, where in the world are you?" But through all of that, Joseph, he knew something that we need to know, something that we need to grab hold of. Through everything that Joseph faced, he knew that God was with him. Sometimes we need to run. When Jesus was tempted in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, what did he do? He used God's word. We could spend hours, we could spend months just talking about the importance of being in God's word. Isn't that how we get connected with God? Isn't that how we can get to the point where Joseph was when he finally said to Potiphar's wife, "How could I do this great evil and sin against God?" Don't we build that closeness with God through being in His Word? That's what Jesus used in Matthew chapter 4. "Satan, it is written." Yeah, I'm hearing what you're saying. I see what you're throwing out here, but let me remind you what God says. Satan comes back. "Hey, Jesus, listen to me." And what does Jesus do? "Satan, you need to remember, this is what God has said." Jesus was able to do that because he knew God's word. Satan is going to be whispering in your ear, Or sometimes he's just going to be all out screaming in your ear. Every single day. Are we giving God an opportunity to speak? Are we allowing God to speak to our mind, to speak to our heart? Are we allowing God to have a presence with us? You see, God has promised us His presence. From Matthew 1 to Matthew chapter 28, those two verses frame the life of Jesus. They frame what God is all about. I am with you. Maybe it's time we get with God. Maybe it's time we connect with Him through God's Word. Maybe the way of escape is prayer. Maybe the way of escape is just quoting Scripture. Maybe the way of escape is just pausing for a few seconds and considering what's at stake. No matter what your experience is with temptation, I want you to know this. God is faithful. Those words that we read in Matthew 1, those words that Jesus spoke in Matthew 28, promising His presence, in these moments when it seems tough to endure, in these moments when we look around and it just seems like we're in a wilderness with nobody around us, don't forget that God is with us. And we can resist. We can overcome temptation. And that's how Paul ended this thought. As Paul's talking about Israel and the mistakes that they made, how they're a lesson for us, he lets this church know, you can endure it. You can withstand it. It may be a huge storm blowing in your life for a few moments, but if you stand strong, Satan will leave. And that's what we see in Matthew 4. After Jesus resisted Satan, he left. Now, he was going to come back later at a more opportune time. But there for a moment, he left. You see, that's the power that we have. Satan doesn't have the power to make us sin, but through Jesus Christ, we have the power to make him run, to make him flee. Because no matter where we're tempted, and no matter what the temptation is, God is with us. This morning, maybe you're struggling with what we've talked about this morning. Maybe you're struggling with God's presence, questioning it. God is with us. And we're here to help each other and encourage each other. If we could pray with you this morning, or maybe you need to start your walk with God. Maybe you need to be baptized into Christ and have your sins washed away so that you can begin your journey with your Savior. If we can help you this morning, we invite you to come as we stand and sing together.